Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we'd like to welcome each of you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. As always, it's a great joy and a treat for us to be with you and to share the Word of the Living God. I want to say Happy Father's Day to every father out there. I pray that you had a blessed day. I know that I had a very wonderful and blessed day. Three of my children were with me yesterday. We had a wonderful time of dinner and fellowship. And they all gave me a gift or two, and I was greatly touched by their generosity and their love. And I reckon one of the most powerful things was that they said to me all with rapidity, "Dad, you've been such a good example to look to in life." And I've always tried to be that. I'm not a perfect father, dad. There's only one of those, and he is the Father of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But my kids have never seen me smoking dope or cursing or drunk or whatever the case might be. I've tried to live a godly life before them, but still, teenagers will be teenagers and do the things that they do. And that's all a part of growing up, regretfully. But I do want to say Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers. And I pray that your day was blessed immensely yesterday. I do want to make one special announcement. August the 19th, 20th, and 21st, the Jim Baker program, jimbakershow.com. You need to go there and click on and register, because they're going to cut the audience off, the attendees, at 1,000. And, of course, Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, Gary Haven, and myself will be there. Gary Haven, some of you may not know him. He just did the movie Amerigadden, and Chuck Norris's son was the producer. Gary is a very prominent Christian businessman, and he will also be there with us in a round table discussion, and we'll be having teaching during the day. They'll be recording, I think, Friday. And then we'll be having church Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning with communion and water baptism. So we're looking for a great time in the Lord. So I hope you can come. I hope to see many of you there. I know there's a lot of anticipation, a lot of people making arrangements to be there. So go to the jimbakershow.com and navigate your way through there. I think it does say revival or something of that. And then you'll click down on registration, and I would encourage you to get there as quickly as you can and do that, because, like I said, they're cutting the attendance off at 1,000, and I just have a feeling in my heart it's going to fill up very quickly, and I would hate for anyone to be turned away and not able to be in the meeting services. And you made such great strides and effort to be there, and then not be able to be a part of the services. So please get your registration in on the computer there, and I'm sure most of you are more intelligent than me with computers, and you can navigate your way through that very, very quickly and get yourself registered. I've been looking and watching, and, you know, the Lord gave me a word a few days ago in prayer. The word was ignition. Something had been ignited, and I believe that profusely. I believe that God has ignited something, both good and evil. They work together simultaneously. The tree in the Garden of Eden was called the tree of good and of evil, and so we're going to witness both at the same time. But I wanted to talk to you today about the most lying administration ever. If you will remember in the beginning, Barry Soroto said that his administration would be the most transparent administration that ever was. Well, the truth is, it's been the most dishonest and untransparent administration that has ever been. And we know that by what happened over the weekend, how that the Secretary of General, Miss Loretta Lynch, has gone and tried to change the 9/11 call transcript. But now, because of such of a public outcry, and I'll read the article, they've changed what they were going to do. Both the FBI and the Department of Justice were going to scrub and redact a lot of the killer's words on the 9/11 phone call. But under pressure from Republican leaders, the Justice Department on Monday afternoon reversed itself and released a full, unredacted transcript of the Orlando terrorist 9/11 call on the night of the massacre, calling the morning's furor over omissions in the document and a necessary distraction. An earlier version of the transcript had deleted the word Islamic State and the name of the ISIS leader al-Baghdadi. Omar Mateen made the 52nd 9/11 call in which he claimed responsibility for the terror act and pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State's leader at 2:35 a.m. The call came in just over a half hour into the June 12th slaughter at the gay nightclub Pulse. I pledge allegiance to al-Baghdadi, may God protect him, in Arabic, on behalf of the Islamic State, Mateen says on the new transcript. The old version had several words scrubbed and read, I pledge allegiance to, and omitted, and then it said, may God protect him, in Arabic, on behalf of, and then they omitted that. House Speaker Ryan Paul called the earlier decision by the Department of Justice and the FBI to release only a partial transcript preposterous. We know the shooter was a radical Islamic extremist inspired by ISIS, Rice Ryan said in a statement. We also know he intentionally targeted the LGBT community. The administration should release the full unredacted transcript so the public is clear-eyed about who did this and why. Republican Florida Governor Rick Scott also took aim at the editing accounting of Mateen's statements the night he killed 49 and wounded 53 more. This is evil. This is ISIS. It's radical Islam, Scott told Fox News earlier Monday. At some point, we lost 49 lives, and here we lost a journalist who was beheaded by ISIS. We need a president that's going to say, I care about destroying ISIS. Attorney General Loretta Lynch went on numerous Sunday talk shows with the news that the partial transcripts would be released on Monday, immediately generating controversy, not only by elected officials, but by media outlets. On Monday, the White House said the decision was made solely by the Justice Department, and that's a lie straight out of hell. That's from Obama himself. He is trying to refute the reality of what's taking place because he is a Muslim. And I'm praying, and I believe this is an answer to prayer, that God is allowing the truth to come out. Now, I'm asking God to expose far more and far greater things that have taken place in this administration and show the wickedness and how vile and how degraded and how debased and debauched these filthy people are that are in the White House and in every aspect of the government of this nation. You see, God has the power to expose. God has the power to pull down. God has power in all heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Christ Jesus has the power Now, the problem is we're not crying out to God. But I believe in the last while there is a plethora of people that are beginning to fast and pray and call out to God. Many people question me, quiz me about fasting. We have a book that we promote by Arthur Wallace, God's Chosen Fast. I don't believe I could do a better job. He diaried his 21-day fast. Of course, I've been on a 40-day fast and many 21-day fasts, but he wrote about it, and I don't know that I could add anything more to what he did. He did a tremendous job, and that's the reason we promote his book on God's Chosen Fast. And it will speak volumes to your heart. It will minister to your life. And it's a biblical, totally biblically in its perspective. And the reason he called it God's Chosen Fast, he takes that from Isaiah 58:5. It is such a fast that I have chosen for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? And, of course, the fast that God has chosen, he goes on to say in verse 6, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. This is the fast that God has chosen. So Arthur Wallace named the book God's Chosen Fast. And when we fast according to God's plan and God's will, he says he will loose the bands of wickedness. He will undo the heavy burdens. He will let the oppressed go free. And he will break every yoke. And so he goes on to say in verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine help shall spring forth speedily. Fasting brings help and healing to your body, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. So fasting is one of the greatest New Testament channels of power. When I say channel, I mean veins, methods, modes, not channeling spirits or something evil, but it's one of the greatest New Testament channels, venues of power, and the least used. Matthew 24:36, for as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We're warned in Luke 21:34, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And the word surfeiting there in the Greek means overeating. We have an obesity problem in this nation. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts become overcharged with the cares of this life, with surfeiting and drunkenness, and so that day come upon you unawares. So surfeiting, as I said, means to be overeating, overindulging, and all of us can afford to, as I would say comically, we have enough to live off the fat of the land for a while. There's enough extra on all of our bodies to go a few more days. For the most part, most of us carry a little extra, too much weight, so we can afford to sacrifice, and it would help you mightily. It helps with your sugar, diabetes. It helps with your blood pressure. That's why Isaiah said it will bring forth healing and health speedily into your body. That's one of the things that fasting does. And again, as I said, preachers don't preach on it. You can look at them and tell they don't preach on it because of how big they are in their obesity. You know, I could call some names of some men that need to go on a fast, but I'm not going to do that, of course. But he says, and thine help shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. Fasting will bring health and healing in your body. And it's one of the important things that we should do, but we don't do. Psalms 35:13, I humbled my soul with fasting, my prayer returned into my bosom. Matthew 17:21, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. 2 Corinthians 11:27, 28, 29, Paul said, in fastings often. So he was always fasting. So, you know, all the great men and women of God, Esther fasted, Moses fasted, Jesus fasted, Paul fasted. He told the disciples, if you want this kind of power and anointing, you've got to fast. It won't come any other way. And that's the problem with the church and it being so anemic. But when we start seeking God, God begins to tear down wickedness and wicked rulers. And this is what I'm desirous and praying that God will do, will expose them. Because they're nothing but habitual liars, always misrepresenting the truth, politicians playing on words, deceiving the hearts of the simplistic and simple-minded people. They speak with forked tongue. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. They lie to you about everything. You know, we're cutting the deficit. That's one of the biggest lies that's ever been perpetrated on the American public. They never cut the deficit. They cut the rate of the increase of overspending. They're going to overspend, you know, 10%. They say, well, we're going to cut it back to 5% overspending. In other words, 100% is all you have, but they go to 110%. So we've got this $20 trillion deficit, see? But they say we're cutting back deficit spending. They're lying. They never cut it back. They're not going to cut it back, see? But my goal and my desire is that God will expose the wicked. You see, there are so many people that are sitting in darkness that if they had an opportunity to hear the truth or see the light, it may very well change their demeanor and their disposition regarding the things in this nation. I heard a man this morning, I believe it was on Fox, who admittedly voted for Obama, but said now the greatest mistake he ever made in his life. He said the man's a farce. The man's a crook. He's a charlatan. He's a pretender. See? And this is the truth of the matter. This is the truth of the crooks. This is where we are. See? And they need to be able to know the truth. You know, when you know the truth, you make good decisions. When you don't know the truth, you make poor decisions. You make decisions that are terrible because you made a decision based on a lie. And, of course, that is ultimately always going to hurt you profusely. In Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. What's he talking about? Jesus Christ. For the next verse says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is that light. And the people sat, or people sit, in darkness. But when we as Christians pray and fast and call out to God, the people are able to see the great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So this is why it's important that we preach Jesus Christ. And this is why it's important about this redaction. They didn't want to hear or let the American people see that Omar Mateen used the term Allah. They wanted to redact that or take that out, omit that word and put God. Well, that's what I call my Savior. As Thomas said, my Lord and my God. You see, that shifts now the ambiguity over to, well, maybe Christianity. But if you stay with what the man said, Allah, you know it's Islam. See? And that's why you're beginning to witness a profuse irritability that's hovering around Obama. I believe evil spirits are stoking him. God's spirit left Saul and sent an evil spirit to stoke him and to provoke him. And that evil spirit sought to kill the psalmist David. And I'm asking God to stoke this man, to reveal his heart to the people. Let the people see, because the people are sitting in great darkness. But a light, and that light is none other than Jesus Christ, can spring up and spring forth. John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm desirous that something will spring forth. I personally am looking for an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. I'm praying to that end. You see, when people begin to seek God, God has always moved. Every time his people, I'm not talking about the sinners, I'm not talking about the hypocrites, I'm not talking about the backsliders, I'm talking about the redeemed, the blood-bought of Jesus Christ, when they begin to seek God, God begins to move. He always has, and he always will. The great Welch revival, people just got together and began to pray and call out and cry out to God. You know, we don't have to be able to come to an assembly. Go to your closet. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Go to your closet. Shut the door. Shut out the world. And pray to your Father in secret. And your Father which seeth and heareth you in secret, he shall reward thee openly. Moreover, when you fast. It doesn't say if you want to fast. It says moreover, above and beyond alms, giving, tithing, and praying. He said fast. And anoint your head with oil, so that you do not appear unto men to fast. And when we begin to do this, see, God says, I will reward openly. You see, we do these things in secret. We go to our secret chambers, and we call out to God. We cry out to God in prayer and fasting. You see, this is the problem with the church. That's why the church has lost its savor. Church, for the most part, it's good for nothing. See? Jesus said, anoint your head with oil and wash your face, that you don't appear unto men to fast, and thy Father which is in secret and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. See, we do all of this in secret. And then God reveals himself openly, which tells me there are those who've been in privacy with God, alone with God, sequestered, shut up with God, and now God is moving divinely and powerfully. See, that's how I know people out there who tell me they're Christian, they're just really Christian in word only. They're not Christians in their deeds. See, you know, I can tell you all day I'm a carpenter. You know, I can read a ruler, I can cut a little bit, and I can frame a little bit, but I'm not a genuine carpenter like some real men I know. I'm just a guy that gets by with being able to do things like that or change the disc pads on the wheels, my rotors and stuff. I'm not a true mechanic. But the point is, the Christians are failing. That's who's failing, the salt, the light. That's what's failing the nation. You see, you got Hillsong. What hypocrisy. You know, the naked man up there dancing with the guitar. You know, you got strobe lights. You got fog machines. You got these lights and painted black ceilings and turning off the lights in the sanctuary. That's the house of God. How dare you darken the place? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's not the church. That's a social club. It's evil. Evil. People are immoral. They're filthy. They curse. They swear. They drink. They fornicate. They commit adultery. You ask them, are you a Christian? Well, yes, I am. Well, no, you're not. You're just a liar. That's just another sign you're not a Christian because you're such a profuse liar. Just like this administration. These are not administrators. These are liars. These people are taking us down a road of destruction, a road of damnation. You see? And you can put all the hope you want to in Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not your answer. Jesus. I said, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is your answer. Now, God can use Trump. Don't get me wrong. God can take a jackass and make him speak to a prophet and talk to him. But the donkey was not the answer. The donkey was just a witness and a testimony to the pride and the arrogancy of the prophet. And so we need to seek God. He can use Donald Trump like Cyrus or whoever he wants to use in whatever capacity he wills to use them. You see, God is the God of all flesh. That's why I never lose hope. I don't care how dark it gets, how dismal it gets, how disparaging it gets. I always have hope. Why? God is alive and well. God is not dead. God is alive. He is on his throne. David said in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. When the people of God, the true people of God, start calling out, God will arise. Psalm 68:1, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Obama's an enemy of God. Loretta Lynch is an enemy of God. These people are enemies of God. God can bring them down. But you got to pray. You got to fast. You got to plead with God. God is not limited. His hand is not short that he cannot reach. His ear is not heavy that he can hear. But Isaiah said, your sins. You see, that's the culprit. Nobody wants to talk about the sin. But the sin is the object. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Why does God not hear us? I hear it all the time. People say, I pray. You're a hypocrite. You pray all you want to, but you don't live right. I watched all these poor souls in Orlando, Florida, standing around in circles, holding hands, praying. All these lesbians, all these sodomites, transgenders, LGBT. Pray. What do you mean pray? Even the Pharisees in John 9:31 said, we know that God heareth not the prayers of sinners. Let me give you a verse of scripture from Hosea 5:15. I will go and return to my place. This is God talking. This is God talking through the prophet. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. You know, it's like me having my baseball and my bat and my ball gloves. And the guys are treating me bad. And I say, I'm going home. I'm going back to my place. I'm taking the baseballs. I'm taking the bats. I'm taking the baseball gloves. And I'm not going to come back until you repent and get right. And when you get tired of not being able to play ball anymore, you'll straighten up. You'll do right. And reconcile, and we can play ball again. Well, Hosea 5:15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense or their sins and seek my face. You've heard me say that. Seek God's face. They don't want to seek God's face. They want to seek God's hand. Psalms 105:3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. We are too busy seeking God's hand. See, and then when all these people line up, hold hands and get in circles and pray, if they're not repenting of their sins, their prayers are as worthless as anything that I know of. Just totally worthless. There's no purpose in it at all. Now, if there are prayers of repentance, God forgive us of our lifestyle. God forgive us of our sins. We're going to quit living like this. We're going to quit living in sodomy. We're going to quit living in adultery. We're going to quit living in fornication. We're going to repent of our sins. He says, you've got to acknowledge your offense and seek my face. And here's the key. In their affliction, they will seek me early. It's not that God afflicts us. He lets the devil hammer us to death. That's what happens. You see, all God has to do is simply remove his hand. That's all God has. God doesn't have to do anything. He says, you know what? I've been gracious to this nation. I'm just going to remove my hand and let the devil have free course. In Job 2 and 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. See, all God did was remove his hand. God didn't do anything. Everything that happened to Job, God didn't do any of it. Satan did it. That's why these idiots, yeah, and I use the word idiots because I'm just about tired of it, don't understand the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is not the wrath of God. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. And you tell all these idiots, these people that think they know the Bible, they don't know nothing. I got another email today. Steve Quell sent it to me from some lady. She said, I know the word Easter never has been in the Bible. Well, ma'am, you're mistaken because you don't know your Bible. It's in Acts chapter 12. It was Easter. Herod had just beheaded James. He saw that it pleased the people. It was Easter for the Romans, but it says also it was Passover for the church. And since he saw that it pleased the people to behead James, he's now going to behead Peter the apostle. And that's when the angel comes in and delivers Peter. And he walks out of the prison, and the chains and the shackles fall from his hands. It's in Acts chapter 12. It's always been there. But you see, these people don't know their Bible. And when this Mandela, whoever the mess this idiot was, and started this stuff that your Bible is changing, I mean, how deceived can you be? Let me show you how stupid that is. I know I'm a little rough today, but I've been in the presence of God early this morning. I mean, the Holy Ghost just was all over me. If that's the case, then the devil, this Mandela effect, has got to not only change every Bible, he's got to change every Strong's exhaustive concordance. Did you hear what I just said? I think I have 5 or 6 Strong's exhaustive concordances. He would then have to go and change all of the concordances and every Smith dictionary that's ever been printed. The Smith dictionary is a Bible dictionary. And you can look up any word, like the word farthing. Farthing would be about 3/8 of a penny. It was a little bit of a coin, a little bit of copper to it. The widow cast in 2 mites. That was even smaller pieces of copper. The devil would have to change every concordance. He'd have to change the lexicon in the backs of so many Bibles where Bibles are printed and these words are in there. You see, but this shows you how easily people are deceived. This adamant, well, I know the word Easter was never in the Bible. Well, you're wrong. You're just flat out wrong because you don't know your Bible. I mean, some people tell me they're Christian, and I'll bet you if I was a betting man, and I'm not a betting man, they're lucky if they read a half a chapter every 3 months. I'm serious. They don't read their Bibles anymore. They don't read their Bibles anymore. They don't know what God says. But once God removes his hand and the oppression and the affliction begins to grow, he said, then they'll seek me. I'm going to go back to my place. I'm going back to my throne room, and I'm just going to sit there till they acknowledge their offenses, and I'm going to wait till they seek my face, and in their affliction, they will seek me. So that's why it's going to get hard. Oh, it's going to get terribly hard, but it's going to get beautifully good. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to read a few passages today from Psalm 78, beginning at verse 34. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. You see, we're not interested right yet in seeking God. It hadn't gotten quite bad enough, but it's going to get there. It's going to get there. And these hirelings in these pulpits, they're going to be sifted too. A lot of preachers, a lot of pastors are going to die. They're going to lose their jobs. They don't need to be called pastors. They need to be called what Jesus called them. They're hirelings. That's all they are. They're nothing but hirelings. They're for hire. They're for sale. You know, they go to the church and they meet with the deacon board and they say, I want to know how much you're going to pay me. I want to know what my benefits are. I want to know what my 401k is going to be. I want to know how many weeks of vacation I get. I want to know how much car expense I get. How much housing allotment I get. I want to know all of this stuff. That's how they come. See? That's the way they are. They don't care about the sheep. See? They're hirelings. See? Jesus said, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep, listen to this now. This is a profound statement. You'll find it in John 10:8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You see, these people that listen to these people who say your Bible's being changed, those are not God's sheep. Yeah, I said it. They're not God's sheep. See? Jesus went on to say in John 10:12, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, because none of them are our sheep, they're the Lord's, we're just shepherds of his pastures. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. You see, most pastors don't care about the sheep. If they cared about the sheep, they would do what Jesus admonished Peter to do. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Lord, thou knowest I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. You don't hardly have any pastors out there feeding the sheep anymore. You know, I carry such a burden and such a brokenness. Phone calls today, emails today. Where's there a church in Texas? Where's there a church in Nevada? Where's there a church in California? I don't get to go to churches. Quit asking me. I'm sorry. I don't say that to be ugly. I don't have anywhere to send you. I don't have anywhere to send you. They don't want me. If preachers would invite me to their church and I could go in there and discern the pastor and the congregation, I could say, go to such and such church. That's a great pastor, that's a great man of God, and that's a great church. The Holy Ghost has liberty to operate and to work and to move. But I've not had one pastor to call me from this radio audience in 20 years to say, would you come to my church and preach? So how can I send you where I don't know to send you? And that's why we're trying to get structured and set up to go around and start holding meetings to suffice until revival breaks out and some churches get on fire for God. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that God will put together a select group of men, myself and three or four more guys, and we go out on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, and we minister and we preach and we pour oil and wine into those people's hearts until a revival breaks out in your town or your city and God begins to divinely move. But I can't send you somewhere that I don't know where to send you. You know, we're like a little meal on the airplane, soft drinks and peanuts to get you to your destination. You know, we're trying to feed you with the Word of God and to sustain you until you get where God wants you to be. We had a dear sister that supported this ministry for years, and she finally found a church in California. She said, I'm going to quit supporting you. I have found me a church, and I understand that. So she quit supporting, and she should support her church. But I never hear from her again. But I heard from her faithfully for probably 2 years. But one day she wrote a letter. She said, I have found me a church. I'm going to pledge my allegiance there. I said, praise God. God bless you, and God keep you. But we're here to try to bridge the gap until God begins to move and awaken these slumbering churches and these preachers. And I would admonish you, stay out of these harlot churches. Don't even bother to go, because you'll start believing false doctrine. See, that's the danger in going into these whorish churches. They're going to lie to you just like this administration. They're going to lie to you about everything. You see this stuff about gold dust and feathers, and all this is out of hell. It's straight out of hell. Show me that in the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles. That's what the book is entitled, Acts of the Apostles. It shows how the early church was formed, how the early church operated, how the early church evolved, how it grew, how the Holy Ghost orchestrated everything that took place, and how things were put together. So it's called the Acts of the Apostles. You see, Jesus, let me share this little nugget with you today. Early on in his ministry, he called his disciples, after the temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, he happens to be walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Peter and Andrew, his brother, and he says, come and follow me. And they left their father, and they immediately begin to follow Jesus. Now, up to that point, they're nothing but disciples. That's all they are. They're just disciples. They're just followers of Christ. But then something changed. What changed? He ordained them and made them apostles. See, when you go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's when he ordained them as apostles. Up to that point, they were mere disciples. But when he gave them that power, great power, that's when everything changed. And by the way, that includes Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And so the Bible said they went out, and they healed the sick, and they cleansed the lepers, and they raised the dead, and they cast out devils. Well, Jesus tells us if a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. People tell me Judas was never saved. See, they don't know their Bible, because he gave Judas power to cast out devils. You cannot be a sinner and cast out devils. See, so you don't even understand, sir, ma'am, you don't even understand when he made them apostles. They were just disciples until he ordained them as apostles and sent them out with great power. Jesus said, if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? It's impossible. So this is why it's called the Acts of the Apostles. So when you see and you hear of these ridiculous stories, when you see and you hear these things, and it's not in the Bible, God does not change. Our form of rule and government and understanding in the church is from the New Testament. Not from the Old, but from the New Covenant. See? That's why it's called the New Covenant. It's the New Covenant. Jesus, that was his job. His job was to preach the gospel. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. People say, wait, he's supposed to preach the law. Well, that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say I was anointed to preach the law. He said I was anointed to preach the gospel. See? Galatians 1:11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See? To preach what? The gospel. And so, I believe God is getting ready to stir. I believe that's why he gave me that one little word in prayer, ignition. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. You see, when you go back and you encounter God, you remember who God is. That newness is reinitiated, reestablished in your thinking. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue. See, that's what's happening in America. Everybody's a liar. That's wrong. Not everybody's a liar. But most people are liars today. They just lie. It doesn't matter about what, or just lie. You like your health care, you keep your health care. You know, they'll say something and then say, I didn't say that. Well, it's on videotape, it's on audio tape, that they said it. See? Well, Jesus has always been used to being lied to. See? Even Sarah lied to God. She sniggered, she laughed, and God said, you laughed. She said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. And because you laughed, we're going to name the child Isaac, which means laughter. You did laugh. And she turned around and she lied. She didn't. She said, I didn't laugh. But she did laugh. See? Matthew 15:8-9. Jesus said, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, they lie. They say they love God. They lie because they don't love him, because they don't serve him. They're not bond slaves. They're not bond servants. They're not sold out to Jesus Christ. So he said, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. See, God never breaks covenant. Men break covenant. You made a marriage vow. You broke it. You made a covenant. Now, there are those who are justly right to divorce, and then there are those who are unjustly able to divorce. You see, that's why covenant is so important. They were steadfast, or were not steadfast, in their covenant that they made with God, for their heart was not right with him. You see, it's a heart problem. It doesn't, David didn't talk about their mind or Asaph. When Asaph wrote this psalm, he wasn't talking about a man's mind. He's talking about a man's heart. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, Christ, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. That's why I said these people don't understand the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is not the wrath of God. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan, Revelation 12 and 12, where the devil is come down unto you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That is, my friend, the Great Tribulation. Well, then what is the wrath of God? Revelation 15, verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the last seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. That's the wrath of God. Those seven vials, those seven last plagues, that's almost synonymous with Revelation 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. See? But we're not appointed to God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. The wrath of God is on the wicked, not the righteous. The wrath of Satan is on the righteous. See? So, these people don't know their Bible. They want you to think they know the Bible. They want you to think they have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but what I do understand, I do preach with great fervency and with great conviction because I'm certain, because I took the time to read and to study and to look at the truth and to be open to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. See? Here's the key. Psalm 78:39. For he remembered they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Why is God so able to give such great mercy and such forgiveness and able to withhold his wrath? Because he remembers we're but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. 30 years ago, I looked at people in politics. And I would get so angry, I would be so mad, you know. God, why do you let these people live? I even felt like that toward Bill Clinton. When I heard him, when the mic was open, he'd say GD. You know, think nobody's listening to him. And I'd say, you know, God, you know, why don't you just go ahead and take these people out? Why let them live? Well, as I got older, It finally came clear to me. Number one, God is extremely patient. Number two, you live to be 90 years old, that ain't nothing. I'm 61 years old. I am way over the other side of the hill. And it just seems like yesterday I was in high school. Just like yesterday. I can remember my school teachers. I can remember a lot of my antics that I did in school. And would get expelled from school for some of the crazy stuff I did in high school. But it just seems like yesterday. I mean, stuff that's 42, 43 years ago. Guess what? Then I understood. So what if a man lived to be 150 years old? It's nothing to God. It's so minuscule. It's so insignificant. It is so little. So little. So he remembers they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Now he's talking in the natural. There's no such thing as reincarnation. When I die, and I go back to the earth, the dirt from which I came. He understands we're all but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and we don't come again. When we die, we go out into eternity. He went on to say, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. It's so easy to forget God when things are going good. You know, people talk about voting their pocketbook. Things are going good. It's easy to forget God. Jeremiah 2:32 says, Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. That's why I said people go weeks and weeks. They never read one Bible verse. They'll spend 8-10 hours a day on a computer, but they can't spend 8 minutes in the scriptures. And then they send all these ugly emails and tell me I'm stupid, I'm crazy, I don't know what I'm talking about. That was never in the Bible. Well, I'm sorry, folks. I know Easter was in the Bible. Unicorn is in the Bible. Matrix is in the Bible. You just don't know your Bible. See, and that shows me what's going to happen to you when the Antichrist comes. You're going to believe a lying wonder, a false sign, when the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Why will they fall for the lies? Because they will not listen to the truth. Listen, you're either going to accept the truth as it's preached, when it's preached with its purity, or you're going to believe a lie when the lying spirit comes. And it's coming. It's here. This whole administration is nothing but a lie. This man's life is a lie. The Social Security number is the decedent from the state of Connecticut. All of this stuff is lies. And if you don't know the truth, you cannot recognize a lie. It's like me trying to convince you 2 and 2 is 5. And I try to pull my shenanigan and deceive you, but you know better. And you say, I don't care what you say, 2 and 2 is 4. You know, 8 times 8 is 64. I say, no, 8 times 8 is 66. No, you're going to say, no, you're wrong. Why? Because you know the truth. But when you don't know the truth, you then are subjected to a lie. And a lie will always damn you when it comes to spiritual things. Don't fall for the lies. If you walk in the Spirit of truth, and that's what he's called, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.